And we'll read our text this morning, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy righteous judgment, unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Father, we ask you this morning to please bless the Word of God as we open it and begin to go through this, Lord. And I'm going to do my very best to give your folks, your people, the message that you gave me. And I do thank you for giving me a message, and I've heard your message this morning. And God, I pray you'd help me not just to hear it, but to take heed to it, and then help me to preach it, Lord, as a dying man to dying men, that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ can get the preeminence and the Word of God can be magnified. Help us this morning to stand in awe of thy Word. And I pray that you'd help this church, Lord, to be a church that loves the Bible, that believes the Bible, that respects and honors the Word of God and doesn't just love it and believe it intellectually, but Lord, that does everything in our power to live it and to obey it. And Lord, we need your help in doing these things. You know and we know how much it goes against our flesh and the world in which we live. So help us this morning to get a hold of the point of this message and to realize that this book is the supply of our needs. And help us to lean on that supply, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You'll notice he says in verse 17, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." As I was looking through Psalm 119 and trying to figure out how to rapid fire preach the longest chapter in the Bible in one message, and to do so in a sort of expository sense, because it'd be very hard to preach a chapter this long expositorily in a detailed way. It'd be difficult to do. And I got looking through there, and it was just amazing to me as I was reading it. Each one of these eight sections, the Lord was popping the thing, and an S was coming out. I mean, we saw the first time, we saw that the Bible is necessary to your Christian life because that's how you seek the Lord. Last week, we saw the Bible is necessary to your Christian life because that's how the Lord sanctifies you. In other words, you cannot seek God, the God of the Bible. You cannot seek Him if you don't have a Bible. You can pray all you want, but then you can't rely on visions and dreams. I need to say that again. You cannot rely on visions and dreams. Because the devil can also give visions and dreams. How do you know that what you've got is the truth? You've got to have a Bible to know that you got the truth. You got to know what God you're serving. Satan appears as an angel of light and his ministers of righteousness. Preacher, you sound like a broken record. That's because some people still don't get it. You cannot judge supernatural things in and of the way it makes you feel, what you saw, what you experienced. You have to judge supernatural things by the Word of God. You seek God from the Bible. God sanctifies you, that is to set you apart for service. God washes you with the water of the Word. You sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. He does it through the Bible. There's no other way to know you're pleasing God and growing in Jesus Christ and cleaning up and getting right. If you don't have a Bible, you've got to have a Bible. Amen. This morning I want you to see that you've got to have a Bible to get the supply that you need for your Christian life. I am telling you, without the Bible, you'll never get what you need. It won't happen. You realize that an army has to have, an army in combat has got to have a steady flow of supplies getting to that army. You want to kill the most powerful army in the world without firing a shot? Pretty good idea, right? Hello? Pretty easy way to do it. Not one of your guys dying, not losing one piece of ammunition, one piece of artillery, one piece of any kind of mechanics, that's very expensive equipment you need to fight a war. You want to kill an entire army without firing a shot, cut off their supply route and wait. Don't give them food, don't give them water. Now, it's a very interesting thing, because when you try to do the research, there's a wide variation in how long somebody can last without food and water. When I say a wide variation, I mean like the most extreme case that I think I found was like up to 8 days somebody could potentially survive without water. And I think that's not taking into consideration what they were eating, if they were eating things that had water in it. That's also not taking into consideration the body weight of the individual, the amount of subcutaneous fat, the amount of visceral fat. So I do realize there's probably a little bit of wiggle room here. But do you know the averages? Most human beings will not live past 3 days without water.
Right.
Dead. Most individuals can't live past 30 days without food. The most extreme number I found was 8 days without water and up to 60 days without food, and that has to take into consideration the amount of reserves that that individual may have had. Something weird going on. That cannot be the norm. The norm would be 3 days without water and 30 days without food. And they're dead. What's your point, preacher? Where do you think your water comes from spiritually? Where do you think your food comes from spiritually? You know what the devil has tried to do in the day and age that you live in? He's tried to cut you off from the supply that you need for your spiritual life and well-being. And that also will impact your physical life and well-being, just so you know. The reality of the practical applications of the Word of God in your daily life, they go beyond what we can even put into words in one sermon, but I'm going to do my very best to get the point through to you how bad you need the Bible. That is your supply from Almighty God. It's the water of the Word. It's the meat of the Word of God. It's the milk of the Word of God. It is honey. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You got to understand how bad you need the Bible spiritually for you to survive. I was doing the research, and I got so frustrated with it, I gave up on it. Trying to figure out, what does modern America think of the Bible? And the statistics that I found were absolutely, they were absolutely appalling. Literally, as of like 2013, like 11 years ago, if the number that I'm remembering is correct, because I literally got so frustrated with the research I threw it away because everybody seemed to say something different and none of them seemed to be being honest, and it was impossible to tell, and you'll understand what I'm saying in a minute, exactly what they even mean by what they're saying anyhow. But what I was looking at was back in 2013, they were saying approximately 1 in 10 households in America had a Bible in it. The numbers since then have plummeted. When they asked, like, the Christian, now we're taking it away from general America and bringing it down to Christian, quote-unquote, America, how many of them had a Bible? The numbers were ridiculously lower than expected. And then what they said is, how many of you actively use the Bible? And in order to actively use the Bible, guess how many times a year they had to say they actually picked up and used their Bible? Those are trash statistics. If they're even accurate. Because how many of those people are even lying? Listen, 3 times a year? If you ate 3 times a year, you'd be dead. If you drank water 3 times a year, you'd be dead. You understand that? And we're dead spiritually and think absolutely nothing of it. The devil's done a real good job, folks, in cutting you off from your supply because you're in a battle. And right now, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Don't you wish they were? Wouldn't it be a lot simpler if we could lock and load, go make it happen? You don't understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
but you can't. You can't. That's not the war. Like it or not. We'll see tonight, the day is coming when you will. Do you know that?
Yes,
not while you're still alive. You're coming back with Jesus Christ. We're going to fight an actual battle, a real war. He's going to come back with His armies and you're that army. And the day is coming when He will set up His kingdom forcibly in this earth. Didn't He say when He was here, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants what? Fight, right? But His kingdom's not of this world. So all these Christians, oh, they're bringing in this kingdom, and we're working for the kingdom, and we're building the kingdom. They're on crack. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're like not even using the Bible. They must be in that three times a year segment. I don't care if it is your preacher. Even if it is your preacher telling you, we're working for the kingdom and blessing the kingdom and bringing in the kingdom, you're not bringing in the kingdom. If we were bringing in the kingdom, we would lock and load and go shoot them.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
You ain't Muslims. Are you? Okay, so why are you doing that? He doesn't need your carnal weapons. The day's coming, He'll come back and He'll set that thing up and you'll come with Him and fight. When He comes to set up His kingdom, we'll actually fight a physical war. In the meanwhile, He said, occupy till I come. He told you Satan is the god of this world, and you've got to understand that. The only way to understand that is to have a Bible. If you don't understand that, you don't know how to operate from day to day in your Christian life. You go into church and you get this fluffy, weird stuff, this strange... You ever notice how weird Christians can be? I'm not trying to be rude. I love Christians. They're my people. Amen. Especially the Bible-believing crowd that believes every word of the Bible and rightly divides it. That's my people. I'm not mocking them. You ever notice Christianity, quote-unquote? Weird, man. Like, just weird people. Like, what are you even talking about? Do you even understand what the Bible teaches? Do you even know where you're at in God's economy? Do you even know what God is doing in this world right now? Do you even know what you're up against? Do we even understand how we're supposed to operate? The only way to get any of that is the supply of the information. I mean, information is important in war, right?
Yes,
very crucial. Where do you get that supply of information from? You've got to have a Bible. You understand how important the Bible is? Your weapons aren't carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what you got in your lap? You got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is a powerful, powerful, powerful book. And it is your ammunition. It is your food. It is your drink. It is your strength. It is your directions. It is everything you need for this life. And it's sitting right in your lap. I sure hope you're not in the segment of people that picks it up three times a year. Well, you're a little different because you come to church. So there's another 52. That's bad. Do you understand how bad off the church is? How weak our army's gotten? You understand? Do you understand now? Here it is. Watch this. Now why, in order to keep church, quote unquote, alive, we've had to make it so world friendly that the world feels comfortable to come into the church so that we can milk the world for their money so we can keep the church, quote unquote, alive. I mean, what fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion hath Christ with Belial?
Yeah.
So why, I don't get it. I mean, something to me about the whole spirit of the thing, you ought to be able to feel it the second. I mean, if you're in the Bible, if you're reading the Word of God, if you understand the mind of Christ, if you understand what the Spirit of God's doing, if you're in that book at all, you ought to be able to step into a place and go, something ain't right.
Yeah.
It ought to hit you right away. Why are you shutting the lights off? I want to read my Bible. I want to make sure I'm following along with the preacher. Turn the lights back on. This feels like the bar. This feels like the rock concert. You know what it is? It's to make lost people comfortable in a place that's supposed to be for saved people. Did you guys understand? You do understand that, right? The local, listen, lost people are always welcome to come in here, and we'll do our very best to lead them to Jesus Christ and get them the gospel. You understand that, right? Be friendly to them. I want them to feel the difference when they come into a place like this. I want them to feel it from the moment they walk in the door. If they're not saved, I hope they feel loved and accepted and intrigued and a little uncomfortable.
Amen.
Because something about the spirit of this place isn't exactly going with my spirit. What is this? And if it's the Spirit of God drawing them and they're responding to it, they'll say, this is what I need. I want that. But you've got to understand, the church ain't for lost people. The church is for saved people. He said, feed my sheep. That's what the church is. It's born again people. Your supply is the Word of God. When you get to church, you ought to be getting and looking for and longing for and seeking the Word of God from it. But that ain't happening anymore. It's a great trick of the devil to cut off the supply source for the army that's supposed to be standing up for Jesus Christ, the spiritual army in this world. Now, you'll notice in our text this morning, you need the Bible because of the destruction that comes in life. Look at it in verse 20. He says this, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy righteous judgments. You see that? Why is his soul breaking for it? You know what I notice when I read that? I notice a broken man seeking something in a broken way. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 19. He says, before he says, my soul breaketh, he says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing a man who's saying, you know what, Lord? I don't fit in around here anymore. God, this earth is just going totally against you. I'm here and I don't feel at home. Do you ever feel like you're not at home anymore in this world? Hey, do you believe the Bible? You love Jesus Christ. Do you have a biblical worldview? I still believe in, you know, like the traditional family. What is that? What are you talking about? There is no family without the traditional family. It's called procreation. It's scientific. It's a fact of nature. Well, you know, they're like a traditional family. Duh! Whatever you have ain't family. That ain't your offspring. Because you can't have an offspring. What kind of strange language are you speaking? You hate speech, Bible thumping, you wicked, you whole. God is love! Yeah, and he says he's angry with the wicked every day. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Hate the sin and love the sinner. Where do you find that in the Bible? He hates the sinner too that won't come to Christ. If you want the love of Jesus Christ, hear me clearly. If you want the love of God, you better get to His Son. And you better make things right with His Son, who He gave as a sacrifice for your sin, to wash you in His precious blood. If you don't get to the Son of God, you don't have the love of God. It's His mercy that's let you live another day, because He's long-suffering, you're making Him suffer, and He's putting up with you. Because He's not willing that you perish, but that you come to repentance. How's that? Old school preaching. That's Bible preaching. It's the truth of the Word of God. I'm a stranger in this earth. I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, folks, there's no doubt about it, I'm born at least 50 years out of my time. Literally. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm going to harp on it. You've got to have to forgive me. Eat the fish and spit out the bones, okay? If he's just wrong about that, then fine. But I don't get men that tweet. Not feeling good today. Okay, sorry. I don't understand it. I don't understand spouses that get on Facebook to blast their personal business all over the world to recruit everybody on their side against their spouse. And listen, I'm sick of insinuations, okay? I'm tired of it. Like, I mean, grow up, man up, woman up, whatever you got to do. Say what you get the mush out of your mouth and say what you're trying to say. Instead of always insinuating things so that people think this about your spouse and feel sorry for you. But, oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. Yeah. And you were so ambiguous, you left all the evil minds in this stinking world to think the absolute worst. Yeah. I'm tired of I just don't get this world. I don't understand this world anymore. Do you? I mean, the longer you stay in the Bible, the less you're going to understand the world. And let me tell you something else about the world. They won't understand you.
That's right.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah, that's all right.
Really? I mean, to say like, no, I don't think two men should marry each other. No, I don't think two women should marry each other. I think that's disgusting. That's wicked according to God. It's called an abomination in the Bible. I mean, we're talking about the Bible, right? We believe the Bible. I mean, God's God. He writes the rules, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, I didn't write the rules. God did. You know what you are? You're a stranger in the earth.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? This is what's going to happen. I'm prophesying here a second. And I'm prophesying because the Bible said what I'm going to say already.
Amen.
That's real prophesying. It's going to get worse.
That's right.
That means that sooner or later, almost everybody in this room, if it keeps going the direction it's going, is going to be affected by it one way or the other sooner or later. When I say affected by it, I mean somebody you know and love and care about is going to wind up coming out of the closet.
Yeah, sure.
And then we're going to find out who you really are. Well, I believed all that, and I loved going to Bible Believers Church, and I amen Pastor Reagan's preaching, and I shook my head that he was right, and he stood up for the stuff, hot topics against the day. But when my kid came out, when my kid got mad at me because I go to that church. Now all of a sudden I'm going to find another church to go to. Way to go. You did what God said the church was going to do in the end days. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and you don't love the truth more than anything in the world, and you wouldn't worship God by laying down your child on that altar and saying, God, they're yours, and I'm not going to compromise what I believe or where you speak to my heart or where I get the Bible fed to me to make my kid happy or not happy. I'm standing for what's right. And I'll be here when the nut gets right with God and comes back. I'll be here to love him and bring the prodigal home. I mean, that's what a real Christian does. That's what somebody who really loves the Bible does. You stand and you wait for the idiot to get back. And you're there to hug them and love them and clean them up and help them out when they get back. But I'm sure hoping you love the truth enough to be a stranger in the earth for it. I'm telling you what this earth will do. I'm telling you, just live long enough. It'll break you sooner or later. Life ain't easy. And it's getting harder. Especially as a saved Christian. He said, I'm a stranger in the earth. God, I don't fit in anymore. I walk in, I feel like everybody's staring at me. My life's in a fishbowl. He's saying, since I'm a stranger in the earth, God, please do me a favor. Don't hide your commandments from me. See, he's not giving in to the pressure. He's actually seeking the Lord even more. He's longing. He said, my soul longeth. I'm seeking. I'm broken. I'm desiring the Word of God more than anything in the world. I need the Bible to help me when I'm in a broken state. The only thing that can heal you up and strengthen you and give you a backbone is that book. Notice, he's a stranger in the earth, but not only that, he's longing for the Bible because of the speech of the earth. Look at verse 22. He says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I've kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Notice reproach is it's to charge with a fault in severe language, to upbraid, to treat with disdain. You guys realize that you're in a state already in this earth where when you stand for the truth of the Word of God, you are treated as though you are a criminal. And the pressure can become so unanimous against you, and you can feel so alone that you almost begin to doubt whether or not, well, maybe I said it the wrong way. Well, maybe I'm coming across too strong. Well, maybe I shouldn't have been so dogmatic. Well, maybe I. No, you're in good company when you're standing for the truth. But I am telling you, it'll break you. It'll get you depressed. It'll get you discouraged. It'll drag you down. Contempt. Contempt is despise, to disdain, to deem vile. It's a state of being despised. This man understood what it felt like to be reproached and to be contempted. You know, this world does look at you like you're vile. You know, I've experimented with this. They can know what I stand for and what I believe. And I can, strategically, try to be extra kind. An extra smile. An extra, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you, man. How's it going? How are things? And they treat you as though it's like, oh, I got to go disinfect my hand. I can't believe you shook my hand. Because you're esteemed vile. You know what the Lord said in Hebrews chapter 11? He said, of whom the world was not worthy. But you know what it makes you feel like? It makes you feel like you're the problem. Your family members will do it to you. Oh, you're going back to church? Oh, that cult. Next time they say that to you, or you're going to the cult, say, do you know what a cult is? You just accused me of going to a cult. That's actually a huge accusation. That's not a little accusation. Cults are dangerous. Do you know what a cult is, my loving accuser? Can you define it for me? You know what they're going to say? Well, you follow the Bible. You believe the Bible. That doesn't make it a cult. That's proof it's not a cult. A cult is when the man is the final authority and he sets himself up as the intermediator between you and God. You have to trust Him. He'll use the Bible manipulatively to control you. He'll always wind up coming after your money. He'll always try to get you away from everybody that you've ever been around. I don't want to get you away from everybody you've ever been around. Jesus said, I would not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil that is in the world. How are you going to win the world to Jesus Christ if you're so holy you don't even go to work anymore? You quit your job. Don't come and be like, I need to quit my job because my boss is just so wicked and everybody's just, the jokes are so dirty and everybody's like, duh, you and everybody else. That's not an excuse to quit your job. You have to be a witness in that environment. You have to say, listen, don't show me that. I don't want to see it. Hey, listen, do what you want. Don't drag me into it. Sorry, happy hour, I'm not going. You guys are going to have to do it. Well, you have to. It's required. Well, fire me then. I'm not going to the bar. Right? You just have to take your stand, but you don't need to get out of the world. You need to win your family to Jesus Christ, not drive them away. But when they try to drive you away from the church, you ought to stand up for the truth. The cult will always try to cut you away from everybody. They'll get you out there in the mountains somewhere, get you drinking the Kool-Aid, and that stinking, lying, sniveling, nasty, no good for nothing, demon-possessed freak of a leader will always try to get your money, your wallet, and your women. Every time.
Yep.
That's a cult.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you a question. Don't get offended. That means I'm about to say something very offensive. You know that, right? Don't get offended. If it's the biggest Christian, quote-unquote, organization on the planet, and it's a cult, is it still a cult?
Yes, sir.
Talking about the Roman Catholic Church. You know why? Because that man says he can sit ex cathedra and speak as God. When he says he's speaking as God, when they can write their own rules or change the rules, when they can tell you the Bible's wrong about something, outdated or doesn't still apply, or is irrelevant in the society in which we live, that is a cult. That man just made himself God. When he says you have to come to him to find forgiveness for your sins and confess your sins to him, that ain't in the Bible. That's a cult. The man just set himself up over you to manipulate you, to tell you what God is trying to tell you rather than teaching you the Bible. That's a cult. I don't care if there's a billion people in it. It's a billion people cult. Somebody who tries to give you the Bible and doesn't apologize for it and gives it to you straight and opens it up and says, turn and let's read, and teaches you the Bible and tries to encourage you in your personal walk with God, between you and God in your personal life, that ain't a cult. You know what it is? It's a speech against you that wears on you over time and keeps wearing on you and keeps wearing on you. By the way, just so you know how that thing works? The devil sends them in among us. They're called spots in your feast of charity. They're called evil spirits that come in to spy out your liberty that you have in Christ and start getting in your head, trying to tell you, well, he's wrong. Well, I don't really agree with all that. Well, it's pretty good, but I don't agree with this and that. What don't you agree with? And if it's really that bad, why didn't they come talk to me? And why didn't you come talk to me? That's good preaching. Thank you. I appreciate the support. I really need it. Verse 23, the princes also did sit and speak against me. Anybody have anybody talk about them? Anybody have anybody in a position of authority talking about them? I'm wondering. I got a lot of wonders. Told you I'm born 50 years out of my time, right? I wonder how much of what we send out on the internet is a setup from the devil for the powers that be able to get us when it comes time to make laws.
Yep, maybe.
You ever think about that? You ever start thinking about it so much it starts making you scared? Hey, ladies, you love security, right? Come on, you could say yes, amen, that's right. I want a man that actually works, that I know is going to keep working. Doesn't like, I'm not feeling good, I'm not going in today. I think I have gas bubbles, you know. I'm sorry, that didn't need to be in there. Your response tells me you're just as immature as I am, so we're good. Right? You want a guy that's going to make it happen. Because you want your security. Let me ask you a question. Can you put your security in the Word of God? Even if it means you lose your job because you won't bow to the pressure of the day. Can you stick by the book and trust God? He said, princes also did sit and speak against me. Those guys are men of power. Those guys are men of influence. And they're strategizing against me because they don't want me doing what I'm doing. They're watching me. His soul's broken. The guy that wrote this had been through it in life. The guy that wrote this had had the chips down so bad and so many people against him and so much of the world against him that it looked like there was no hope. And more than once, he lost hope. But you know what he learned over time? Man, I got to get resupplied. I got to keep a steady supply coming in. Because if I don't keep a steady supply coming in, my brokenness is going to lead to defeat. You know what your brokenness ought to do? It ought to drive you to a longing for the Word of God more than you've ever felt it in your life. Say, listen, I understand that this world isn't what it's cracked up to be, young people. We're not trying to rain on your parade. I promise you, life is great. Thank you. He's over 40, and he said, amen. So see, I mean, over 40, to some of you, that's like half dead, you know what I mean? Life is great. But I'm going to tell you, life ain't what you think it is. It's not all it's cracked up to be. You know what you need early and often? You need to figure out early and often that I need a steady supply of the Word of God to heal my brokenness. And the thing about my brokenness is that my brokenness ought to be driving me, for a longing to the Word of God. You ever get depressed? You ever get discouraged? What do you do when you're depressed? You know what most people do when they're discouraged and depressed? They stop reading it. Yeah. You know what that was? That was a trick of your enemy. He's cutting off your supply route. When you're discouraged and depressed, don't raise your hand or nothing, but any of you ever fail as a Christian? You know what most people do when they fail? I shouldn't have messed. I messed up. I'm no good. God's done with me. You know what you ought to do when you fail? God, I failed again. Where to from here? Please, show me what to do. I'm telling you, folks, this book is your supply, and you've got to have a steady supply, because if you don't, the brokenness of this life and the destructive nature of this life is going to ruin you. But notice something else. You need the Bible and a steady supply of the Bible because there are divine wonders to behold in the Word of God. It's in verse 18. He said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's been one of my favorite verses for good night, 25 years now. I love that verse. What he's saying is he's saying, God, I need you to open up my eyes. Because a lot of times when I read my Bible, I don't get anything. Do you see his longing? He said, I'm longing for the Word of God. And while I'm longing for the Word of God, I'm begging you to open my eyes because the destructive nature of the world, I need my soul needs more. I long for the Bible to fix the problems. And now that I'm in the Bible, what I want is I want a divine perspective on the problems. God, I want to know what you're doing and how you're doing it and why you're doing it. What to do? What do I do now? And who are you and what can you do? I want more God. Can I show you something real quick? If you keep your finger here in Psalm 119, I want you to go to the New Testament with me, to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're coming back to Psalm 119 in a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians, and I want you to see something very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The Bible says this, but the natural man, that's a human being that's never been saved, that doesn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in him. But the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For we have known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So what I'm holding in my hands is the mind of Christ.
Yes, sir.
So what is the mind of Christ? Well, it's in the Spirit. Okay, so how do you get the Spirit? You got to be baptized. Oh, you're reading Acts? A transition book, not a doctrinal book. A book where early on in the book of Acts, when they got baptized, they received the Spirit. But later on in the book of Acts, you find them not baptized, having already received the Spirit. How did they get the Spirit? You see how they wonder one or two verses and they pull that verse out of context and they don't show you the context. They don't teach you the doctrine surrounding it. And then they make everything apply to you and then you're confused.
Yeah.
You know what you got right here in front of you? You got the mind of Christ. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. And when you were born again, the Spirit of God came into you and quickened your dead spirit. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You're born again by the Spirit of God. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh, mama and daddy, is flesh, baby. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Except a man be born of water. See, you got to be baptized. No. In the context, it's born of the flesh. Water is referring to the flesh. The baby's in amniotic fluid. And when the water breaks, the baby's being born. It's a natural birth. The natural man. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, small s. Your spirit was dead in trespasses and sins, and the day you got saved, and unless you were born again, the day you got saved, the second birth, the natural man, mama, daddy, flesh, born of the water. You see how simple that is?
Yeah.
And then they twist it and they apply a verse that doesn't apply to you, it's talking to the Jews, and they think you got to be dunked in water to be saved.
Right.
Paul said, I didn't come to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Yeah. How do you make those things gel? You better know how to rightly divide the word of truth. You better get the mind of Christ. The only way to get that mind is right here. How else are you going to find out what he's thinking? How else are you going to find out what he thinks about Israel? How do you know what's going on in the Middle East right now? How can you figure out when you're watching the news whether you want to panic and start saving up water and canned goods in the basement and build a bunker and stock up on ammo? Or relax and get the peace of God in your heart and win a soul to Christ and go to sleep in peace and wake up with a hope.
Yeah, yeah.
You better have the mind of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like 24 years ago. I was 22. And I remember everybody panicking about Y2K. Stocking up. And all the people doing the math in the Bible and coming up with this as the end. I remember when we were starting the church. And it was the Great Recession. Whew, what a mess. Planting a church during the middle of the Great Recession. No money, no nothing. Just God and a Bible. And Lord, you called me to give me your word, so I'm going to give me your word as faithfully as I know how. And if there's five of them sitting there, I'll give me your word. I preached, ask my wife. I preached in the storefront and in the cafeteria. I was wilder back then than I am now. Those poor 11 people were like... Because I believed that this book could do the job. And God called me to give them this book. And I knew what my mission was. I knew what I was about. I knew what our church was supposed to be about. We were giving them the Bible. We were trying to give them the mind of Christ. And boy, it was, oh man, the economy. Oh man. And you know what it was? You know what it was back then? Obama is the Antichrist. We had some nut in the church who's passing out DVDs like that to all the visitors. And we had lost people coming to church. Liberals. Getting this Obama's the Antichrist thing. Hey, don't come in this church and pass out your material. I mean, that's what I said to him. I'm not chewing you out because you haven't done it yet. You understand what I'm saying? You always get some kind of a wacko around here, and then people that are visiting think that represents the whole church. Like, oh no, man, that's not us. This dude's a nut, you know? We're this close to bouncing him a long time ago. He's driving us crazy, okay? Obama's the Antichrist. You better get in your Bible and study that book. If you want to put everything in the world into proper perspective and have the mind of Christ, you got to have the Bible for that. Because what you're looking and you're seeing, and you can add it all up, and you can do the, and you can get into the conspiracies, and you can find the YouTube videos. They're everywhere. And they're famous because everybody clicks on them. I'll tell you again, this is a good acid test for the truth of this, who's watching and whether or not that thing really is of God. Label it more like Jesus. Label your video the Rose of Sharon. Label your video the Beauty of the Bible. Title your message the Supply of the Word of God and see how many clicks you got. Now put demons, devils, Lucifer, the Antichrist and see how many clicks you got. LGBTQ and see how many clicks you get. I wonder how many sheep are feeding on it and how many wolves are feeding on it. You better get the mind of Christ and understand that this is the mind of Christ right here on print. And you know what else you need to understand? That unless the Spirit of God opens up your eyes and shows you, you ain't going to make any sense out of this book at all. I'm going to show you some stuff tonight. I actually tried to draw it out on the board, and I'm going to make it as simple as I can about the second coming of Christ and the battle that's going to ensue when we come back and you're going to be with Him. It's exciting stuff. I'm going to try to show you some stuff about the millennium in the next few weeks in the evening service, going through Revelation, how many months it's going to take us to bury the dead bodies. 7 months of burying dead bodies. That's the kind of battle that's going to be when you come back and you're fighting a real literal battle with the Lord. Show you how many months it takes to get rid of all the ammunition and the setup in the millennial kingdom. It's amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. And you know what? It's all going to be nonsense to you if you don't have a heart that says, God, would you teach me this book and help me to get it? So that's where you get your rebels come along and say, well, you don't need a man to teach you the Bible. I can sit in the woods in my deer blind and walk with God. And you'll find those guys are always idiots when it comes to doctrine. Listen to me. I was out this morning right after dawn. And I waited till right after dawn because I was ready before that, but I couldn't see my notes while I walked. And I took my notes and I went for an almost 3 mile walk with my notes for this morning, going over them and talking to the Lord while I was walking. I didn't see one human soul. That was a great time. I heard the birds singing and whatever else is making noise, and the idiot neighbor's dog tried to rip my head off as I was walking by. It was the only bad thing. Outside of that, we were good. I hate that dog. And I really believe I talked to God. I really believe I meditated on the Bible the whole time. I didn't have any of the words of human beings coming into my face. My phone was in my pocket so they can get a hold of me if there's an emergency or whatever. But it's just me and the Lord. I really believe you can go out there and sit on a bass boat and talk to Jesus while you're fishing, or sit in a deer blind and talk to Jesus while you're fishing. I believe that. But I don't believe that you should be doing that when you're supposed to be here. Because I believe the Lord Jesus Christ set this thing up, and He's the one that designed the church and commanded a preacher to feed my sheep and guides that preacher through His Word to feed you and works divine things through preaching. When you walk in and sit down, like, my goodness, that is wild that I was going through that, and He doesn't know. We were talking about that, and He doesn't know. I was just dealing with that. I just had that question, and it got that was God dealing with you. He's opening your eyes. I'm not getting anything out of church. Maybe you're not asking God to open your eyes. You understand, you need a supply of that book because it's how you have divined the holdings of God. Don't give me your visions and your dreams. Can God speak to me in a dream? Sure He can. It's possible. Why would He if you got a Bible closed sitting on your nightstand? And you picked it up 3 times this year? I don't believe you. If you're in a country where you don't have a Bible or there aren't any Christians or you're in persecution or something like that, then okay, that's between you and God. I'll believe you. You Christians, you saved Christian American people with plenty of money in the bank that could buy a Bible and don't care to. You don't care to pick up a Bible and read it. You don't care to live it. And then they're telling you, well, the Lord speaks to me in dreams and the Lord appeared to me in hogwash. You don't care to open up the Bible and say, Lord, speak. You don't care to show up in church and say, God, speak to me. Listen, you need this so bad, that's why the devil wants to cut you off from the supply. So yeah, you need church. And not because I'm trying to have job security. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm not afraid to work. By the way, the ministry is work, but I know people don't think that. So I'm not afraid to work the way you see it. Just like you do. And I've proven it. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat if I had to. I'm here because this is real. And because we need that book more than we need anything else in the world. And it is how you see God, and it is how you hear from God, and it is how God speaks to you. And if you ask Him to teach you the Bible, He'll show you things right in the pages of that book that'll blow your cotton-picking mind. And you'll love it. You'll fall in love with it. I'm telling you, you'll fall in love with it. But you got to ask Him. You got to want to see it. And it's His Spirit that does it. Go back to the book of Luke. On your way back to Psalms, go to the book of Luke and let's look at chapter 10. Let me show you something about this. I think people don't learn their Bibles slowly but surely over time. Don't have God speaking to them and growing slowly but surely over time. Because they don't have that longing. They don't have that brokenness, that destructive nature of the world is not driving them to a longing for the Word of God. And they're not getting in there saying, God, I want to see You. I'm looking for You to open my eyes to behold the divinity of God, the power of God in this book. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. Now I've got three more references I'm not going to turn you to. And in those references, there's six. And 5 is 11, and another 3, so there's 14 different verses showing you from the Bible that if you don't have a humble spirit before God, you won't learn your Bible. Luke 10 said, God, Jesus is getting all excited. He's rejoicing in spirit. I thank You, Lord, that You hid these things from the wise and prudent, and You reveal them unto babes, unto the natural man, unto the common man, unto the normal human being. You just reveal this stuff. You live in a generation where the ministers have exalted their education so much that they've made you think that since you don't know the originals and you're not really good at reading and you really struggle with the old King James Bible, you can't understand that. You need one of these Bibles.
Right.
Well, that's insulting. What are you saying? I'm stupid?
Right.
Listen, you might have bought that bill of goods, but I'm here to tell you, I don't think you're that stupid. If you can read on an average of a 6th grade level, you can read the whole Bible. If you start reading the Bible and just teach yourself to read it, the way that it's grammatically structured, believe it or not, will educate you naturally. I believe this with all my heart. You'll get smarter if you read the Bible. Like intellectually. Not saying you'll be brilliant. You just go from being whatever you were to a little better. I think that's what God does with that book. I don't think you're so stupid you can't read the Bible. You don't need me to go digging up some old ancient Greek. I'd rather... Listen, when I stand before Jesus Christ, do you realize that I'm going to give an account?
Yes, sir.
Where are you going with that, preacher? Here's where I'm going with that. When I stand before Him, He's going to say, all right, Mike, why did you... And I'm going to have to answer. Anything He says, why did you do, and I know that I was against the Bible, I'm going to have to say, sir, I have no excuse. I'm wrong. I beg Your forgiveness. I beg Your mercy. if the Lord comes up and says, Mike, why did you overemphasize the King James Bible? You know what my answer is going to be? Well, Lord, because you said you'd preserve it from this generation forever. Well, don't you know that all the scholars said that there were errors in there, copyist errors? Well, Lord, what you said is that you preserve it from this generation forever. You said every word of God is pure. So they said there was errors, but you said it was pure and it was preserved forever.
That's right.
Well, Mike, don't you know that the scholars said, don't you remember your Bible college professors that were saying that this was a copyist error? Well, yes, sir, I do remember him saying that, but you said that the Lord gave the word. Great was the company that published it.
That's right.
Ah, Mike, but you were wrong. You know, the originals are it. And your college professor said, well, I know, God, I know what they said, but what you said is, I'm sorry, I just didn't believe that you meant what you said and said what you meant. So if I erred at all, I trusted you too much. I'll be happy to give account for that. You understand what I'm saying? You need that Bible. It's the divine revelation of Almighty God. And there aren't any errors in it. No matter what some jackleg tells you. But you believe it because he's got some degree. Well, Mike, don't you know that? And they show you where the mistakes were. Well, Lord, you know what? They did. I actually saw over 100 that were, you know, unfortunate renderings and contradictions. But every single one of those, when I researched them, I found out where actually it probably wasn't wrong at all. So I chose to believe that you'd keep your word, and I figured you were just testing my faith and leaving that stuff like it was. Like over here it says a king reigned this many years, and over here it refers to the same king, it says he reigned less. It's an error in the Bible. Oh, they'll be sure to show you that because they want to undermine your faith in God and undercut your trust in Him so they can get your trust in themselves.
Right.
You ever hear of a co-regency? A lot of times an older king would bring a younger king on with him and they'd reign together. And then when he dies, they go ahead and re-anoint the number one king. And that's when his reign actually started. So he actually had two different starting points.
Right.
Once where he was with the co-regency, once where he's by himself. And when you go and you look at the numbers, it matches up perfectly. That's exactly what happened. It's not an error in your Bible at all. But some jackleg with a brilliant IQ and degrees undercuts your faith in God. Undercuts your faith in that book. So you won't see the power of God in the book that's in your lap. It cuts off your supply. Now let me bring this home to you and personally in your life. Look at verse 17 and we're full circle. Back in Psalm 119, please. I'm just telling you, if you just trust God with faith like a little child, you'll come out way ahead of the scholars. Look at verse 17. He says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. The purpose for this man wanting God's bounty was so that he could live to live the Word of God. Do you get that? It wasn't so that he could live to get richer, to buy a bigger house, to be more successful. He said, God, please deal bountifully with me so that I can follow you and live for you and walk with you. Look at the last verse, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Do you know what the Word of God gives you? It gives you a supply of the bounty of God. Now, here's what I mean by that. The Bible tells you in 2 Peter chapter 1 that He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That means if you're kids are downstairs, if you're a teenager and you're trying to figure out how to navigate this world and you're trying to figure out now that you're getting old enough to see your mom and dad's faults and to get aggravated by their rules and to get rebellious toward their punishments and to see how everybody else has it better than you and your parents don't let you do this and don't let you do that. The supply to get you through your teen years without ruining your life. The supply to heal up your brokenness and fix your rebellion. The supply to clean out the bitterness that comes in life because of what people did to me. It's right here. If you're single and you're lonely, and you're tempted to go to one of these churches that are date hookups, because that's where all the other singles are, jumping around and shaking their hind end and calling it worship. Not being crude, I'm being honest. And you're tempted to leave where God's speaking to you from the Word of God to go over there and because you're lonely. You know where the supply for your loneliness is? He'll deal bountifully with you if you want Him to. You're young married and you're going through the young marrieds. It's a disease. We all get it sooner or later somewhere in the first 5 years. You want to survive it? You got little kids, you're trying to figure out how to raise them. And you're ripping your hair out and you feel like there's no point in even going to church. You think we haven't been there, I know. You think like our life has always been perfect and we've never had an issue or a struggle. Miss Grace never got in the car after church that I was the pastor because I was in the pulpit because I was busy serving God. And she had to wrestle with the girls by herself the whole time, every time. There was no trading off and on. Because the man of God was in the pulpit of God, preaching the Word of God to the people of God. You don't think she got in the car and cried all the way home? Like, what's the point in even going to church? All I do is fight with this kid the whole time.
Right.
You know what will get you through and to help you stay faithful to keep disciplining the kid when you don't feel like it's even going to work? Or it's even working at all? Trying to raise teenagers? Past the teen years and going through the empty nest and all the rest of what happens in life and all the rest of that, you know, getting out of bed and glad your parts came with you kind of deal. Getting up there in years and going, I cannot believe my whole life has gone this fast. And now I'm a grandpa, I'm a grandma, I'm trying to figure out how to be the right one, how to deal with these adult kids. A lot of things I want to say, don't know if I should say, probably shouldn't say. The more I say, the more problems I'm making. I'm talking about the wisdom, the supply, the flow of God to take you all the way through your entire life. The bounty of God. You need the supply.
Amen.
You will never grow out of your need for this supply.
No.
It creates structure. That's verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The Bible gives you structure in an unstructured world. The Bible gives you focus when everything's a mess and you don't know what to do. The Bible gives you comfort when you're broken. Folks, you need the Bible. And I'm telling you, I can tell you all I want. I can preach all I want. But unless your heart says, God, I'm longing for that book, please open my eyes and please deal bountifully with me. God, I don't care if you give me a raise at work or not. Pour out the riches of Christ from the Word of God on my life so I can be the dad you want me to be. So I can be the husband you want me to be. So I can be the Christian you want me to be. So I can live a life that's worth living. And when I stand before Jesus Christ, I can look back and say, that short life that they sang about's over. But I don't regret 1 minute of walking in the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You need some supply this morning? I'm telling you, there's plenty of it here.